Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. This is producer-engineer Jim Turverville. As you know, I worked on and off for the most part of 30 years of Mark Meek's career as host of this program. It was only about a year ago that Natalie Thomas stepped up to want to be Mark's co-host on the show, and she walked into that role in an elegant manner and absolutely within God's timing. Because hindsight is always 20/20, we know that God sent Natalie to us to bring you this program each week and to continue the legacy that Mark started many, many years ago. Behind the scenes, we have spoken many times about bringing back some of Mark's best programming, and we've already dedicated a section on our website at sundaynightlive.org to many of Mark's teaching programs, and you're reminded to go there and check them out. Because of a last-minute circumstance, Natalie was not able to join us for the program, and she asked that I find a program featuring some of Mark's conversation and teaching, and I looked in the archives for this Sunday 3 years ago. It wasn't this date, but it was the last Sunday in August of 2019, and Mark was reunited with his former co-host, Bruce Johnson. It was an excellent program, and we think it bears repeating. So join us tonight as we step back in time and listen to the words and the teaching of our host emeritus, Mark Meek, on tonight's edition of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everyone, and it is Sunday Night Live time, and thanks, Jim, for the intro. Hello, Bruce Johnson.
Hello, Mark.
It's good to see you again.
It's good to be here.
Hey, well, I think we have some good things for our listeners tonight.
Yes, I do.
But
also,
I wanted to share a little bit of word with folks tonight and kind of get us going. And
sure.
And I've been thinking a lot about Jesus and also the Father. And thinking about why people have misconceptions about who God is, and you know, so many people have this idea that God's out to get them, and that he's a God that's just looking to pour out his wrath on whoever he can find to do it, and they have the idea that God's the one that causes bad things to happen, and that's how he punishes us for our sins. And so people really do have that idea, and I can remember, Bruce, having in my own life the idea that I was doing wrong, so God was going to get me. And God disproved that to me.
Yeah.
Because every time I did bad, he did something good in my life. And I began to notice that. I began to notice that I would do something and I would expect his judgment to come, and instead good things would come my way. And after a little while, you start noticing that. You begin to notice that if you're expecting bad and good happens, you can't help but be aware of it. And so as I went on with that, I began to notice that more and more. And I began to pay attention to it, and it began to cause me to have a change in the way I think about God. And one night, I'll never forget it, there was a man in our church that was a really great Bible scholar. He read the Word. He had pretty much the same idea about the Word that I did, because I'd heard him teach the Word, and so I had pretty much accepted the same things that he had accepted. And he came to me and he showed me a scripture over in Romans that said it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. And man, it was just like, you know, God had already been doing these things in my life that I was pointing out just a minute ago, how I'd do something bad, expect punishment, expect judgment, and then goodness would come. And when he showed me that scripture, it all began to make sense to me, that it is the goodness of God. God was bringing me to a point of turning my life 180 degrees from the way I was living it.
Right.
And you know, Bruce, up until then, I had pretty much accepted the fact that God was trying to teach me through a heavy hand. And so tonight I want to just look at some scriptures, and I don't know how far we'll get into this. I found so many scriptures that I wanted to share, and I decided I was going to start out in John chapter 1 and talk about that, and then go over to Genesis and look at some scriptures in Genesis. And I got started looking at these scriptures in John, and I realized some things that we probably need to look at here and spend some time looking at these scriptures, and then if we have time, we'll carry it on a little further. But there are just so many scriptures in the book of John, in anywhere in the New Testament,
right?
Really, but I wanted to look at John, and I just started reading every scripture in John that had the word Father in it,
right?
And listen, I could have written down several pages of these, and every one of them would be relevant to what we wanted to talk about. Because really what Jesus shows us in John is that he came to reveal who God is. It's a revelation of the Father God.
He was the exact representation of the Father.
That's right. And so when you start seeing this, and we're going to read these scriptures, and you're going to see more and more how that's exactly right. And not only do you see the Father, but you see Jesus.
Yes.
In this. And then in turn, you begin to see yourself in it.
That's right.
So I want to read some scriptures, and we may comment a little bit on them as we go along here, but I want to start out with John 1. And I'm going to start with one in verse 1 and verse 2. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And so it's talking about this, the Word.
The Logos.
The Logos, the Word, the divine expression of God was part of who God was in the very beginning.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what beginning that's really talking about, if that was in the beginning of the universe, the beginning with man. I don't know what it was. But anyway, in the beginning. And then if you go down to verse 14, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So we see that Jesus existed. The Word existed. Jesus came in the form of a man. We knew him as Jesus. But prior to him coming as Jesus, he was the Word.
Right.
So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And so we beheld his glory. Look what it says, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father. You know, one of the main principles of the Bible is this, that everything reproduces after its own kind.
Right.
Listen, if I have a dog, he has, and my dog's going to have puppies. What do I expect? Do I expect cats?
No.
No. And so everything produces after its own kind. I want to tell you, God reproduced himself after his own kind.
Right.
Okay. And then look at verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So he's the only begotten Son of God. And then he says he's going to give us the power to become sons, even as many as believe on his name. So here we have the Father. We have Jesus, the manifested Word of God, and the Son, and then us having the power to become sons of God.
James 1:18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be his kind,
yeah,
of first fruits."
And you know, Bruce, over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If any man..." No, that's not right. It says, what does it say?
5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The
yeah.
old is past and the new has come."
Yes. And so that word, that scripture in the Amplified Bible says that we're a new species of being that never mm-hmm. existed before.
Right.
A new species.
His kind.
His kind.
That's right.
His kind. And so the reproducing here, in another place it talks about how Jesus came as a life-giving spirit.
That's right.
And so we become what? Life-giving spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Just like him. Now let's go on here and look in John 5. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 27. I'm going to read several verses, but stay with this, because it says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Father, or doeth the Son likewise." So the Son can do nothing of himself, only what he sees the Father.
Right. This is Jesus speaking, by the way.
This is Jesus speaking.
Right.
But I want to tell you, start putting something else, just begin to consider yourself as a son.
What I see the Father do.
What you see the Father do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bruce, this kind of takes a little different thought than what we have had, because like I said earlier, how did we perceive God? When we saw him under the old covenant, it right. came across as him being hard and harsh.
Yes.
And even the Jewish people, when they looked at that, that's how they had begun to perceive God. And Jesus came and he said this, he said, "My judgments and my Father's judgments are true."
Right.
And he said, "You've looked at this all wrong. Totally wrong."
Right.
He said, you've got to take this judgment from the right perspective, and that is God's perspective instead of your own. So let's continue to read here in 5:19. And it says in verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things. The Father loveth the Son. Listen, I don't think I'm stretching it a bit. And I think by the time I get to the end of this, that you could put yourself in this son position.
If you know that you're a son, yes.
Yeah.
And the Word says that the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are sons.
Yes. And it said over there that he gave us the power to become the sons of God, even as many as believe on his name.
Right. So see, you put yourself in that. That's
you,
good.
You can put yourself right here as we read this. And I don't think this would be blasphemous in any way when you read the scriptures and understand the scriptures. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now think about this for a minute, because it says the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Himself doeth.
He's now, showing him what he's doing.
Now, later on, we're going to see a scripture where he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
So when the things that Jesus did, when he went out and he preached and he taught and he healed and he delivered and he delivered up his own life.
Right.
He became sin. The things that he did, he did because he was seeing the Father do those things.
Right.
He was seeing the heart of the Father. He wasn't seeing the God that threw people down in a pit and of an earthquake and closed the earth. He wasn't seeing that. There was a reason why God had to deal with man the way he dealt. And that is that he was doing it for the good of mankind.
Right.
If those people would have continued the way they were going, those people that rebelled against Moses, they would have destroyed the plan of God. Because he needed a people to bring forth Jesus Christ into this world. And so if those rebels had continued the way they were going, they would have gone the way of Adam.
Right.
So there was a reason why those things were happening. And you know, Bruce, you talk a lot about a timeline.
Right.
And we need to look at the timeline. We need to see what was going on at a certain time and why it was going on.
And have understanding about that. Or otherwise, yes, you'll read those scriptures and you'll think like you thought, or like I thought at one point about God.
Yeah.
So when you know that it's his goodness that draws men, brings men to repentance, you start looking for his goodness, even in those things that look harsh.
Yeah, that's right. Verse 21 says, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Hey, doesn't say he's bringing death. He says he's quickening.
Mm-hmm. Bringing life. Vitalizing.
Yeah. But the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto him.
All judgment unto the Son.
Unto the Son.
Yeah.
That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So what Jesus is doing, he's bringing this revelation of the Father, because he says later on, no man's ever seen the Father. And so what he's doing, he's laying the groundwork in all this, is he's saying, look, if you see me, you have seen who the Father is. And so he's laying the groundwork for that as he goes along.
Can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
In 21, where it said that he commendeth all judgment to the Son.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I mean, you got a really good clue on his heart about that judgment, right?
Yeah.
I didn't send him to judge all this way. I sent him to that you may be saved.
That's right. Listen, just the fact that he said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
And Bruce, you can take that back a long ways. What was lost?
Right, relationship with God.
That's right. Way back there in the garden.
Right.
And that was lost. And so he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, which is the Father, hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Hey, that's like an umbilical.
That's good news.
Yes. Yes, he's saying life and life, and then in a little bit we're going to really see some scriptures. I keep
saying that to yourself. We are seeing stuff.
Yeah, apply this to yourself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because he is the Son of Man, he's given him authority. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man, that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Son of Man. Wow. And then let's look at John chapter 8. Jump right in here, Bruce, if you...
Oh, I'm enjoying. I'm reading ahead sometimes.
John 8:26-29. This is Jesus. These are all red letters. Not all of them, because there's some words in here, like 27's not. But he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. He that sent me is true. He's true. God is true. True to what? True to his word. True to himself. True. God's not changing.
Right.
He is true to who he is. He doesn't go, well, let's say I'm going to judge Bruce different by a different standard. I'm going to look at Bruce from the standpoint that he's not a son. I know that he has accepted Jesus into his heart, but I'm going to judge
him.
No,
he can't do that.
He can't do that. He is true.
Yeah.
He's true.
I mean, and later on in John, Jesus says that I am the way and truth and life.
That's right.
And you come to the Father by me, right?
That's right. And he says, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not. They understood not. See, they didn't understand. They didn't understand their scriptures. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand how he was coming. They didn't understand what it was all about. And so their reaction to God was expectation of wrath. And when you look into the Old Testament, you begin to see how that all played out in their lives. And so Jesus, when he came, he began to reveal these things in a different manner, and they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, what you have, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He's telling them, hey, you're going to see some hard things happen, and it looks like that God's going to leave me.
Has abandoned me. Yeah. Hey, it's the same Father that said when he came up out of the Jordan, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. Now, if you look down in John 8:38-44, it says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. I speak that which I have seen with my Father.
Didn't say what he'd heard. He said what I've seen.
He said what I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen this with my Father. What did Jesus come doing again? He came, it says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
For God was with him.
Yes.
And so he was just carrying out who he knew his Father was.
Right.
Listen, if he had had this idea that his Father was anything but good and merciful, he wouldn't have been saying the things he's saying here. Right. He wouldn't have been doing the things he did because he wouldn't have had any backing.
Right.
He would have been wondering, well, I wonder why this demon-possessed guy has this demon. Maybe he has it because he did something wrong and God's judgment has come upon him. Maybe I better not mess with this. Maybe I better just leave him in this condition because this may be my Father. But that's not what he said. He said, I'm just doing what I've seen my Father do.
Right.
I'm just doing what I've heard my Father say.
Right.
Isn't that what he's been saying in all these scriptures?
Yes.
I have to find my place now.
You're at 38.
38. And I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Now, hey, I do, even today, after my earthly father has been dead and gone from this world since 1981. And that's 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been with him, but you know what? I still do things that I picked up from him when I was a child. I'm in some respects, I'm my father's son, right? And we all are.
But take that into the now in your heavenly Father.
That's right.
He's saying, you can do
yes.
what you see him do.
Yes.
And you'll see him do that through what I do.
Yes.
What Jesus does.
Yes.
That's your guide.
That's right. See, he was just, you know what?
If you've seen me, you've seen him.
That's right. You know, Bruce, he came as a son because he knew we would relate to a son.
Right.
Not just Jesus being a son, but us being a son.
Mm-hmm.
A son of my natural father, but now a son of the heavenly Father.
Amen.
So who are you like?
We should be looking towards him.
What right? likeness do you take?
I'm of his kind.
That's right.
But that's all in an understanding of if you see yourself that way.
Yeah.
You have to come to that understanding.
Yeah.
I am a son.
Isn't that good?
That's very good.
And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham.
It'd be something to do with faith now, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Right.
Yeah. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham recognized the voice of God.
Right.
And he heard God, and he stood on that. For 25 years he stood for a child. And he says, now you're going to kill me because I'm talking about the same things Abraham talked about.
Right.
You do that, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. You would love your brother. You would recognize your own kind.
That's right.
For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father.
Hey, that is logos. That's not rhema there.
That's logos. That's the expression of him.
That's right.
And you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks, and when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now what is God the father of?
Truth.
Truth. Jesus came full of truth.
Grace and truth.
Grace and truth.
Yep.
The enemy, the devil, has nothing to say but a lie.
And the word became flesh, full of grace and truth.
That's right. And then look at John 10:15. It said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And then look at John 10:30. And I love this scripture. It says, I and my Father are one.
Are one.
So now we've got to begin to accept the fact that now we see Jesus. We see who God really is. He's revealing the Father. He's revealing God. You know, that name was so sacred that the Jewish people, they called him Yahweh, but they wouldn't put any vowels in that. It was all consonants because it was such a sacred word that they wouldn't even say his name. Here's a God that is so aloof that man can't even be in contact with him.
In their understanding. Yes.
But there was people like Moses and Abraham.
Yeah.
That did have contact with him.
God never cut off contact with man.
No.
No.
So they almost deified those guys.
Yeah. Abraham had right standing mm-hmm. with God by faith. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of leads you to believe the opposite that was true for other people. Yeah, right?
That's right.
Your right standing is not there because you have no faith.
They wanted to claim Abraham because they thought they were going to get some of
Abraham's. From the bloodline.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that's
they were in covenant, but it was only through Abraham.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, now let's look at John 10:37. And it says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. I mean, Jesus came at it from every angle.
Oh, the next verse is one of my favorite ones.
It says, but if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times does he have to say this?
If I don't do the things of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do the things of my Father, believe those things, because that points that I am of the Father.
That's right.
That is so good.
And that the Father is in me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's putting something really strong out here
by
saying something.
The evidence is there. The pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Yeah. I'm doing the things of the Father, and that points to the fact that I am of the Father, and in the Father, and he's in me.
That's right.
I love that verse. We should take that one to heart.
Yes. Yeah.
What works? The ones that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
From the heart outward.
You can go back, and this is a pretty radical statement. But you can go back and look in the Old Testament. But you've got to come back to this. You've got to come back to Jesus.
Yes.
Because that's what the Old Testament was about.
You can't rightly view the Old Testament without seeing the Old Testament scriptures through Jesus.
Yeah.
And then you see God's goodness all through that.
Yeah.
Even his grace.
And then you come here, and then all of a sudden you see Jesus, and he was making the case, because what we're talking about the Old Testament is how those Jewish people believed.
How they believed wrongly.
Yes.
Even from that. Yes. There's a scripture in the Gospels, and I can't remember, at the end of one of the Gospels, it's before he ascended, he opened the scriptures to their eyes so they could have understanding. The only scriptures they had to open their eyes to was the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The Law and the Prophets.
They didn't have this right
now. No, but before Jesus ascended, he showed his disciples, he opened their understanding, opened their eyes, and said, here I am in the scripture.
Bruce, you know what I know.
And we have to look at it that way. The reason I'm bringing that out is to see God and to see Jesus in the Old Testament. You have to look through Jesus.
Yeah. You know what I see here when I read these scriptures? There was times when Jesus talked to the common man.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he did a lot, because it says he preached and healed.
He went about teaching and healing. Yes.
But a lot of times when the things that are recorded in Scripture, the scribes and the Pharisees were present.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were there. They wanted to find out what this guy was saying, because it was so different.
Yes.
It was in one way, they wanted to catch him in things that would, so they could brand him to be a heretic and to stop the people from following. But on the other hand, there was men like Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews, who came privately to him at night and asked him about these things. There was a heart in some people to find out who Jesus really was, and in so doing, find out who God was. So let's look at John 12:49-50. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, Bruce, this isn't just talking about the Jewish people here. It's talking about, still talking about today. And it says, but I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. Wait, let me back up.
Where are you at? 12 what?
I read 12:48. Let me read that again. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's verse 48. And that is still true to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And 49 says, but I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak.
Hey, he says the word that I have spoken, that's still logos.
Yeah.
He's not talking about the utterance of his mouth. Even though he speaks that, mm-hmm. he's still talking about the divine expression. The word that I speak.
So what is that divine expression?
I'm speaking from God. This is God speaking to you.
Yeah. And then he says, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Wow. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Man, his words, when we receive those into our life,
that becomes the divine expression in you.
Yes.
The Word of God. There's life in that. There's power in that. There's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then let's look at 13:3. Kind of a little walk through.
Say it again. One verse.
13:3. And this isn't Jesus speaking, but it expresses his heart. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He knew that. And listen, it reached a point. Because he's getting ready now. This is the Last Supper, and he's mm-hmm. getting ready to go to the cross. And there was a point. You know, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was a point where God had to kind of step back and say, Jesus, you're on your own. You've got everything you need to carry this out.
Right.
But I'm just going to step back and let you do it. And the Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus could have done it. It was within his power. He could have called legions of angels to come and destroy the world. They could have wiped out everybody. But Jesus didn't make that choice. He had a choice here. And he made a choice based on who he was with the Father.
Right. Love.
Love. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
He saw us as somebody worth something. He saw our worthiness that Bruce.
Yes.
How worthy are we? I mean, we make a miserable mess out of life a lot of times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even people that are born again, sometimes they have problems and they make the wrong decisions. And God did that knowing who he was dealing with. Knowing the kind of beings that he had created that had their own choice to do all these things and making the wrong choice. He knew that. Hey, listen. I'm the only guy on the face of the world, earth, that makes the right choice 100% of the time.
Are you?
All the rest of y'all are just, But that's every man's right in his own eyes. Isn't right. that what the Bible says? I mean, you know.
In your natural.
I'm good.
In the natural.
In the natural. I'm good.
But if you know the Father as Jesus did, then you understand.
That's right. That's right.
He'd given him all things. I don't know if you've got 17 on there or not, do you? Are you going to go to chapter 17?
Yeah, I'm going to 17.
I'll leave it alone then.
That I might not be going to the one you're looking
at. It goes along with it. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me, and all mine are thine. All that you've given me, Lord, are yours, mm-hmm. and all them are mine, and I am glorified in them." That takes that verse that you just read to the fullness in our lives.
Yeah.
Hey, he's given us everything that the Father gave him. Those words, that truth, that life, that way. And we are to relate to the Father the same way. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes on and on down there and says, them and, you know, that they'll be in you as I am in you and they in me. And I mean, he doesn't leave in, he says it so many different ways. There's no way to leave out us being in Jesus and in the Father. Mm-hmm. As sons. So if you're to really know your heritage and your lineage and what your father says and does, that's the father to look to.
Yeah.
And we can see him through Jesus.
Bruce, I've never seen my spirit. And I've never seen God.
He is spirit.
He is spirit. I cannot correlate to God the spirit as far as trying to visualize that with my mind. I cannot receive him with my flesh. That's an impossibility.
Right.
But you know what? Jesus came in the form of a man.
Yes. So that your faith may rise up. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's, we say things like through him. Yeah, it is through him, because I can identify with him, a man, a right. son.
Right.
I can identify with those things. I can, even in my flesh, I can identify with that.
Yes. Hey.
So it's through Jesus and through what he's saying right here in these scriptures that we really see and understand who God is.
Yes. Hey, what does 1 John 4 say?
1 John 4? As he is in this world.
No, it's talking about love. It says that God is love.
Yes.
4:8.
Yeah,
4:8. And that's the end. That is the result of all this. Let me turn to it so I don't mess it up. 4, it's about 8. He that loveth. Here, let me back up one. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. That's talking about your new man. And knoweth God. You know God. He that loveth not doesn't know God. Knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
So, it's saying the same thing.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey, we couldn't have... You can't do this without first receiving him.
That's right.
He said, we don't love because we're good lovers. We love because he loved us first through Jesus Christ. And in the same way, you can say, I don't know God just because I'm smart. Mm-hmm. I only know God because he showed me who he was through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God.
That's right.
We take that, Bruce, here's what kind of probably blows God's mind. We receive Him. We know we become sons of God. We know that He did all these things. And then we don't live out of that. We don't see that love. We don't see those scriptures. We look at scriptures like you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And we're questioning whether we love or not.
Right.
Hey, if you're like your father, you love.
That's right.
Because of that innate thing that's on the inside.
Your spiritual DNA.
Your spiritual DNA.
That's right.
That's the way you have been built.
That's right.
And we won't believe that. We won't accept that. We won't have faith in that. We
right.
want to live out of something other than believing Him.
Yes. So in order to see God, I have to get my natural eyes out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to see through Jesus, who Jesus was, how Jesus represented God as man, how He acted, His heart, His attitude towards men, His daily walk with the Father,
mm-hmm.
because it was there. It's all through the Scripture. That's the only way that I can see God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. That's the only accurate way.
Mm-hmm.
Because He was the Logos, the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. You can take that to the bank. I mean, you've been reading out of John since we started. Why did He start that way? Listen, I'm showing you a picture of God.
That's right.
I mean, why did God inspire John to write it that way? It's because, look, John's a different gospel than all the other three.
Mm-hmm.
The other three are parallel to each other, and John is a different kind of gospel, mm-hmm. because he is describing and showing, and God inspired him to do that so you could see God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. Always have.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call the Gospel of John the Passion, don't they?
Yeah.
It's because this is me. I want you to know. I'm not going to leave you blind.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way through this, the Gospel of John, he goes back and goes back and goes back and quotes Jesus saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you've read not all of them tonight. You just read some of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much God wants you to know who He is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
To see Him.
Listen.
So you can live.
We need to put down our misconceptions.
That's right.
And what we've done tonight, hey, listen, Bruce, this is a great way to study the Bible. Just get on a subject.
And go.
And go with it. Stay with it.
Yeah.
Ask yourself a question. What does God look like? Listen, I can get that picture right here.
That's right.
And we haven't got there. We're running short on time, but you know, there's more scriptures in John, and it talks about I'm in the Father and the Father's in me,
mm-hmm.
and I in you.
Read chapter 17.
Yeah, I in you.
Mm-hmm.
You and us. I mean,
he covers every angle.
He does. I mean, he keeps saying it from different ways. You need to get that. That you're in Him.
A fixed position of rest.
And he's in the Father. So it's like, if you want to build yourself a picture.
Yes.
Mental picture. Put yourself in Jesus.
That's right.
And then put Jesus in the Father.
That's right. That's right. You know what? Every question that comes up, He can answer through that word.
Yes.
I mean, and once you get a hold of that truth, start going back through your old way of thinking about the Father and watch Him reveal Himself in all those in a different way.
Yeah.
Hey, I've learned, if anything, the Holy Spirit is our guide and our comforter and all. he's a lot of, he takes a lot of, plays a lot of parts in my life. But one of my favorite things that the Holy Spirit does for me is he asks great questions.
Yeah.
He does. He prompts the most outlandish, wildest question that comes up in me, and I'll think, and it gives me direction to seek him in his word.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he can't answer. He will show you all truth, lead you into all truth. That's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you did tonight is a great kickstart for people that maybe think they don't know, or maybe they think they know God, and now what we're saying is contrary to what they believe.
Yeah.
Hey, go study him. Go look.
Yeah. Bruce, study, but when you do, ask God to reveal it to you.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit within you is eager,
yes,
to reveal the word
that
to
is
you.
Right.
And listen, we live not by knowledge, but by revelation.
That's right.
It's you say, well, what's the difference? Well, knowledge is, the way I'm using knowledge is just something that we have stored up in our brain, in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
But revelation is what comes up out of the inside of us through the Spirit of God and reveals what knowledge really is. It reveals truth.
That's right.
Those Jewish people had a lot of knowledge. They knew the scriptures. They studied the scriptures.
They had no revelation.
They spent years studying the scripture, but they didn't have revelation.
That's right.
And so that knowledge it was not profitable to them.
John 17:3, and this is eternal life, to know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. To know. That you can't know him without revelation. But that's eternal life.
What a good way to end the program, Bruce. We're out of time. We'll be back next week with another live Sunday Night Live program.
And I hope you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live, a special look back to 3 years ago this week, with a special program from our host emeritus, Mark Meek, and his special guest, Bruce Johnson. I was privileged to produce that program, and I'm happy to bring you tonight's broadcast as well. I would remind you of our website, sundaynightlive.org. We have an entire section on that website, not only devoted to our most recent programming, but also to Mark Meek and some of his teachings. So if you've not heard some of the teaching programs on this show in the years gone by, we're accumulating a lot of those and posting them. I think there's about 15 or 20 up there right now, and we're working to add more to that. We're also launching a podcast, and we'll have information on that on our website as well as on our Facebook page at sundaynightlive.org. So a lot of things are going on because God is still on the move, and we're proud to be a part of it and want you to stay informed. Join us again next week. Natalie Thomas will be back with her special guest here on Sunday Night Live. Y'all have a great evening.